Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 285 main event, maybe the biggest fight that we've ever discussed on the channel. John Jones returning at heavyweight to take on the number one ranked former interim champion, Cyril Gane. Loads to talk about with this one. It's a very, very fascinating fight. Of course, there's lots of things that we have to assume about John Jones because he's been out for so long, but we'll see. I'll give you the analysis and then you tell me what you think at the end in the comments, because I'm still wondering what people are assuming John Jones is going to look like at heavyweight. Before we get into the analysis, this show is brought to you by Raid Shadow Legends. I love this game. I'm on it every day, upgrading my champions and doing the daily quests. This is my favourite champion, Jirogian, right now. He's usually the one that leads the squad into battle. I'm actually going to pull up a battle against the Fire Dragon right now. Loads of cool champions to collect. Loads of cool bosses to take on as well, especially in the dungeons. You've got the Ice Golem, the Minotaur. The dragon, of course, the fire dragon, which for me is the best one to take on. I love taking on a dragon, why not? And, you know, you'll enjoy this game because you get to build your own champions. You know, you can customize the artifacts that they've got and the different accessories that can upgrade them and make them stronger when they're taking on all the different bosses in this awesome game. There's loads of different daily events and tournaments going on, and you can get involved in all these things and get all different kinds of new treats and goodies that can enhance your experience and enhance your champions. And the Valentine's Day event is going on at the moment. So all you need to do to get involved is to download Raid Shadow Legends from the links below and follow the instructions in the description. New players can enjoy the special Valentine's Day themed adventure with the Raid Love Quest, and if you're an existing Raid player, you've got a Valentine's Day treat as well. If you use the code SaintValentines23, you'll get a whole bunch of stuff. I've just got the code right now and upgraded a bunch of champions with better weapons. So get this game, you're gonna love it, trust me. There's also another link below as well. If you use that link, you'll get a bunch of different goodies as well. So get on this game, get it downloaded, you won't regret it, and show me your champions. I want to see who you're playing. All right, let's get into the analysis. Right, quick tale of the tape before we get started. So we've got John Jones, the former light heavyweight champion, 26 wins with one defeat on his record. Of course, not really a defeat, it was a domination, and he was ground and pounding Matt Hummel from mount and got told off for an elbow that was curving in the wrong direction. I'm not really much of a fan of the downward elbow rule, as you can tell. John Jones should be undefeated. You can have the no contest, I don't mind that, but he really should be 27-0, and that really is a terrifying thought, because I mean, he's just made it look so easy the majority of the way through his career. He's made it look so easy, almost too easy in fact at times, which has led to some criticism. On the other side, Cyril Gane, 11-1, still very early in his career. Of course, that one loss was his unsuccessful title attempt against Francis Ngannou, which was a fantastic fight, and I don't really think it kind of, I don't know. I don't think it's going to affect his confidence in any way, because he's going to have to be realistic about where he is in his career. I mean, he's 12 professional fights in. He's still very, very young in his career. And the scary thing is, so is John Jones. I mean, you know, there's only 3 years difference between them. Cyril Gane's 3 years younger. Cyril's got a whole career ahead of him. John Jones, as a heavyweight, has a whole career ahead of him. That's really, really scary to think about, because of the experience that he's got, because of the fighter that we know that he's been over these past few years. Cyril, we're still waiting to see how he's going to develop as a fighter, because he'd seemed quite complete up to this point. Of course, we saw a few weaknesses highlighted in his takedown defense against Ngannou. But, you know, we have to also consider that he may not have been expecting Ngannou to wrestle, so he may not have just, you know, paid that part of his game enough respect to be prepared for it. He's going to assume that John Jones is going to try and wrestle him, of course, at some point, because why would he not? I mean, if you've got Cyril Gane, you know, dancing and bouncing around in front of you, what are you going to do if you're John Jones? Well, you're going to take his base away and you're going to slow him down as much as you can. And if you can't slow him down by taking his base away, you're going to put him on the floor, because you know that there's a weakness in his game there that was highlighted by Ngannou. And you've got to think, if Ngannou can take Cyril Gane down, John Jones is going to be able to take Cyril Gane down. Both of these guys are 6'4". John Jones still has a 3-inch reach advantage as a heavyweight. Now, I've gone through Jones's whole career since I've started researching this fight, and it's amazing the reach advantages that he's had over his opponents. I mean, you know, I just watched his second fight with Daniel Cormier again, the no contest, and what was Daniel Cormier's reach? 72.5 inches compared to 84.5 for John Jones. I mean, he's had such a massive reach advantage over the vast majority of his opponents that it's going to be unusual for him moving up to heavyweight, and those reaches and heights being a lot more normal at that weight class. Like, you know, Cyril's got an 81-inch reach. It's still not as long as John Jones, but it's very comparable. What was Gustafsson? 79 inches? You know, his reach was problematic for Jones. And Cyril didn't really struggle against Volkov as far as reach, did he? He was still able to cover that distance, and Volkov's, what, 6'7"? It's... reach is an interesting thing. Sometimes I think it can be a bit of an illusion for a fighter. They feel like they've got an advantage, so they fight as if they've got an advantage. It wouldn't surprise me if Jones's reach is nullified in this one in the stand-up ranges by the movement of Cyril, because, of course, Cyril's speed in and out of range is going to be something that Jones is not used to seeing, not even at light heavyweight. I mean, you look at someone that moves like Cyril at light heavyweight, and the closest thing you're going to get is Gustafsson first fight, which was one of the most problematic ones for John Jones. You know, in the last run that we've had of four fights, well, three fights, the Gustafsson rematch was a good, clean performance. But the three fights following that, what was it, Anthony Smith, Thiago Santos, and Dominic Reyes, every one of those fights, he lost rounds. You know, on one of the scorecards against Santos, he lost the fight. He was apologising in his post-fight interviews. It just didn't seem like he had as much of a love for it in his last few fights. But you go back to his fights against Cormier, and, you know, the first fight against Gustafsson, where he was kind of not really fully, you know, disciplined, and in training camp, he was just lethal still, you know. And even earlier than that, you go back to when he was fighting Vitor Belfort and Rampage Jackson and Machida, Shogun, when he took the belt off Shogun. We were chatting the other day, Jamie and Owen and I, about, you know, can you think of a champion that has stepped in as the challenger and dominated so you know, in such a one-sided way? And the only other person that Owen could think of was Anderson Silva when he stepped in there against Rich Franklin. I mean, that was a decimation. But what John Jones did to Shogun was, I mean, Shogun was just broken by the end of that fight. You know, there's a point, is it the end of the second round, where Jones has been ground and pounding him from a half guard position, and he kind of casually sits up as if he's going to go for a leg lock, and Shogun just kind of for a moment just rests his head back on the canvas, like, oh my goodness, this is an impossible battle to win. And right in that moment, Jones spins around and just smashes him with his fist. Like, every moment where Shogun just for a second lets his guard down, Jones punished him for it. And at the very end, when Jones drops him up against the fence, what was it, left hook to the body, knee up the center line, he hit the floor, and Shogun was in turtle position tapping. Like, I just wouldn't have imagined someone could do that to Shogun a few years ago. And to watch Jones step in there, what was he, 23, youngest UFC champion of all time? It was unreal. He was an incredible talent in the early days of his light heavyweight career. And he was champion for so long that we all kind of, I feel like a lot of people started to take him for granted a little bit. You know, those performances against Reyes and Santos and Smith, to a point, they looked a bit uninspired. And you go back to earlier fights in John Jones's career, they were spectacular. And it's not like he wasn't fighting, you know, lesser opposition, because he was fighting the greats of that generation. Rampage and Vitor and Machida and, you know, or the guys that he beat that went on to be great champions in other organizations, like Ryan Bader or Brandon Vera. It really is an outstanding career, a body of work that he's put together so far. And if you look at the amount of fights that he's had since Cyril Gane's been a professional, Cyril Gane turned professional in August 2018, that basically includes John Jones's last four fights. Like, he has a whole career ahead of him as a heavyweight. And I do feel like he's going to be much better at heavyweight. He's going to hit harder. He's going to be stronger and more vicious because he's had some time out, and he's, you know, let's speculate for a second. What weight do you think John Jones is going to come in at? I'm kind of feeling like John Jones is going to come in heavier than Cyril Gane. He's a massive individual. So if you then take John Jones, who's been in training camp over and over again, cutting down to make 205, to then rehydrate and go back up to 230, maybe 235. Like, he might be that big as a light heavyweight. So he might be coming in over 250 for a heavyweight fight. And he might be the bigger, heavier fighter in there against Cyril Gane. Like, that would kind of suit his newer fighting style, because when he was younger, he moved a lot more. You know, he was a bit of a big puppy in the early days of his UFC career, and it made him really problematic because he was still very vicious. But in his last few fights, he's kind of settled down a bit and he kind of stalks. But I feel like that style transferring over to heavyweight into a heavyweight frame is the ideal opponent for Cyril Gane, because he's going to walk him down and bully him. Like, Cyril, in my eyes, can fight moving forward or moving backwards. He's, of course, going to struggle to fight John Jones if the fight hits the floor. But in the stand-up ranges, I feel like he's quite comparable in a lot of ways. Like, he has a good lower body attack, right? He attacks the legs really well. Think about what he did to Derek Lewis. Smashed his lead leg, gave him a lot of respect for his punching power. You know, never really left himself kind of hanging out there waiting to feel whether he's going to get knocked out or not. Constantly working the leg. And then as the fight progressed, second round, third round, you start to see him kind of hammer that low kick in and hang out in range a little bit more. Then he starts to push through into range with higher kicks and starts to bully Derek Lewis at close range because he's got good defense inside. He's very, very calculated, and he's very good at being the lighter, faster guy in a heavyweight fight. Against Taito Uvasa, he did the same thing, right? He broke him down from a distance. He made Taito Uvasa reach and miss and drew him onto that right hand. Like, the movement and the skills that Cyril's got can very, very much be problematic for John Jones. And I feel like they both got a good lower body attack. Like, Jones, as we know, has got that stomping side kick or the oblique kick or just generally good low kicks. Cyril does struggle sometimes with low kicks. Volkov hit him with like 56 low kicks throughout their fight. And if Jones does that to him, he's going to do a lot more damage than Volkov did. So initially, I think Jones is going to attack the base of Cyril. But I also think Cyril's going to do the same thing to Jones. And then I think both of them will start to work up the body. I think we'll start to see John Jones hitting with that side kick to the body. And I think we're going to see Cyril hammering that left kick into the body over and over again. Same one he used against JDS. Keep smashing it into the body and wearing that side down. Like, these guys are heavyweight, so anything that they land could potentially be very, very damaging, if not a fight ending. Both of these guys have got more of a game where they accumulate damage on their opponent gradually. Like, John Jones has only got 4 knockdowns in his UFC career. And if you think of him, that the Vitor Belfort one was a side kick to the body. The Stefan Bonner was the spinning elbow from a single leg control. He's not like a knockout puncher, like he's going to walk someone down and crack them. I mean, that was John Jones at light heavyweight. He might look very different at heavyweight. He might look like a big puncher at heavyweight. But we've not really seen that from Cyril. He does have heavy hands, but just like with the Taito Uvasa fight, he had to cook him for a couple of rounds first. He had to make him tired and make him vulnerable and then get him to fall into a trap where it hit him with the perfect shot. So I think both of these guys, there's a bit of forgiveness in the striking ranges for both of these. I think they both can take one another's punches to a point, but they're both going to try and accumulate damage on one another's frames for the duration of the 25 minutes. They're both going to start with the lower body. They're both going to start working to the body after that. And then, you know, their games come from there. Cyril's very good at hitting you and drawing you in and then hitting you with punches. John Jones is very good at kicking you and then crashing in with elbows. And, you know, you think back to the Rashad Evans fight where he's reaching out and he's forcing Rashad to lock horns, as he calls it, and then he's rolling around the sides and smashing him with elbows. That's where it starts to undermine Cyril's good boxing defense, because Cyril, close range, rolling inside big punches, he's very, very good at that range. But if then you've got someone that switches to elbows in that range, that defense isn't quite as effective. And I feel like the creativity of John Jones that we saw in his earlier career, we're going to see a resurgence at this in this heavyweight version of John Jones. Like, I'm just trying to put myself in the mindset of Jones, right? I've been out it's a while, isn't it? What is it? 3 years. I would imagine he's been sitting on the sidelines watching these divisions kind of play out and realizing that no one's really doing what he was doing back in the day. No one's really pushing things forward like he was. Like, McGregor had the same effect. There's certain fighters that at certain times have... Anderson Silva certainly was one of those fighters. Aldo, again. Occasionally, there's a fighter that every time they fight, they change the way that sparring looks in MMA gyms around the world the following week. And I feel like we've been short of one of those fighters for a while now. Like, McGregor was that guy. Everyone all of a sudden was a big wide southpaw that was pinging everyone with their left hand. When it was Anderson Silva, everyone was front kicks to the face and body. You know, with John Jones, it's the oblique kicks to the side. But there's so much more to John Jones's game. And I feel like we're going to see more of it as a heavyweight as well. Now, of course, I've been researching for my BT Sport Breakdown show, which you can catch on their channel. I'm going to go through a whole bunch of footage. But the basic flow of the show is kind of how I see the fight playing out. I feel like Jones is going to open up with a lower body attack, because if I can disable the speed at which Cyril Gane moves at, it makes him easier to hit. It makes him easier to predict when he's going to move, because he's going to be more labored in his movement if his legs are damaged or bruised or, you know, whatever. And if he's a sitting duck, that means that John Jones can then step in with those elbows that we know he loves. So it makes sense for Jones to initiate the attack with lower body strikes. He might just come out as a big heavyweight, you know, weighs in 255, 260, and comes out looking like the Hulk and wrestles him up against the fence and controls him and takes him down. Like, it might just be a show of strength, especially when they're dry. John Jones wants to come out and get his hands on him. And that's something else that we saw kind of drop off his game. You know, you go back to the fight against Stephen Bonner, and the variety of his Greco takedowns was amazing. You know, body locks and trips, and he has a very, very good kinesthetic awareness when he's locked up with somebody. And that could be useful as a heavyweight, because he's now able to drive a bit more into them and prime them to drive back. Like, that might be a whole new game for Cyril to be dealing with, as the elbows will be at close range. So coupling Greco with elbows, and then if the fight hits the floor, circling back to the elbows again. Like, one of the most devastating weapons in John Jones's game that is, again, I feel like it's often overlooked because it's so simple, is his left elbow from close guard. Like, what he did to Vitor Belfort, the way he stopped Brandon Vera with that elbow, it's just steady and consistent. And as he rolls over on the feet, like he did against Rashard Evans, he does the same thing on the ground, cracks people over and over again on the same side. Really did so much damage to Vitor Belfort's face that, you know, same as Shogun. By the time the fight was over, they were so ready for the fight to be over. He's mean on the inside. There's a nastiness to his game. And, like, we see glimpses of it here and there. Like, for example, like, if Cyril locks up with him, you know, of course Cyril's not going to want to give John Jones underhooks, because if John Jones gets underhooks, then of course that's where the Greco comes into play and Cyril's going to really struggle to stay on his feet. But as he's pummeling his hands in and he's getting underhooks on John Jones, just like we saw him do against Teixeira and Gustafsson, he's going to start wrenching elbows and he's going to start trying to do physical damage to joints. Like he does with that side kick to the quad, it can hyperextend the knee, and there's the potential to do some serious damage that would end the fight and maybe their competitive career for a period of months as well. But that's John Jones for you. Like, and that's the best version of John Jones. Pictogram John Jones, whatever you want to call it. That meanness, that viciousness translates into scary creativity in the cage. And Cyril's got lots of things that he can bring to the table that are going to be very competitive. His movement, his speed of his jab is phenomenal. His ability to accumulate damage, just like John Jones, working the lower body, then working the midsection, softening them up. Like, again, tied to Avassa, he took so many shots in that fight, but the things that did the most damage were the body kicks. And it kind of started to bring his hands down, and it primed him for the finish when he was standing there ready for that right hand that Cyril knocked him out with. It's a case of Cyril kind of keeping space from John Jones and not being lulled into that kind of, I mean, what do you call it? It's like a hypnosis that he catches people with. Like, I mean, Anthony Smith, he fell into a trap that he was never able to get himself out of. He never got going, because every time he even started to think about mustering something, Jones would chop him down with something really simple. It's like a gradual accumulation. And I feel kind of like why, you know, those last three fights, I say they're relatively uninspired by John Jones, because I don't feel like he was enjoying it. And from the reaction to the crowd at the end of the fights, I mean, he literally apologized at the end of each one of those fights to the crowd. Like, I think he knew that they were uninspired, and I feel like this time out is going to reinvigorate that, especially if he's not having to worry about getting down to 205. He can literally walk into the cage the same weight that he's been sparring at, with no 20, 30 pound drop in between. It's going to definitely be beneficial to him. Oh, what haven't I said? I mean, Taylor, have I done Taylor Tate, Jamie? 26-1 for Jones, 10 knockouts, 6 submissions, 4 guillotines, Rinnick, choke and a key lock. 11-1 for Gann, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. Can't underestimate the submissions again. I know it might be a bit of a wild card, just like the Volkov guillotine, which never came about. But Volkanovski guillotine. But the one thing about John Jones is that's not going to look heavyweight is his ankles. Like, he gets shit from Joe Rogan constantly about it. Like, attack his legs. He's got skinny legs, attack his legs. John Jones, upper body, and his quads is going to look like a heavyweight, but he's still going to have those skinny ankles. And, of course, Cyril Gann's not the most proficient of submission wrestlers, submission grapplers, but he's got that arm triangle against Pessoa. He also got Dontell Mays with the ankle lock. Now, of course, that was the error against Ngannou. He took him down in the fifth round, then sat back for the heel and didn't get it. But of course, you know, if he's losing round after round just by being kept on the outside of John Jones or being taken down and controlled and beaten upon the ground, there might be some wild cards to pull out of the back pocket, and the ankle lock might be one of those things. Because if I'm looking at John Jones and trying to find a physical weakness, his ankle is probably the easiest thing to attack, just because it's so kind of long and slender. Like, I feel like you've probably seen these videos on Instagram where people are snapping baseball bats with notice they're never snapping the baseball bat bit, the bit where that actually hits the ball. They always snap in the handle, which looks like one of John Jones's ankles. Like, I'd imagine if you got Cyril cranked onto a baseball bat, he'd be able to snap it. And I feel like even if it's a straight ankle lock, he would be able to put a lot of force on John Jones's ankles. It's just something to consider, because if I'm Cyril, I'm expecting to be on bottom position for a period of time. And I'm sure that he has started to address the problem in his takedown defense after the Ngannou fight, but Ngannou's wrestling was a shock to all of us. John Jones's ability to wrestle when he was 21 was a shock to all of us. There's a big difference there. Like, John Jones was a junior college national champion. He would have been a champion at whatever he turned himself to and whatever he could maintain his focus on. And I think that this 3 years out is going to make him very grateful for being back in competition. And the fact that he's been able to just lift and train and daydream about what he would do if he was in there against Cyril Gann or Francis Ngannou or Stipe Miocic or whoever else he fantasizes about beating up in his downtime when he's hiding under the octagon. I just feel like it's going to bring the best out of him. He's going to be vicious. And look, you know, I would imagine now, if you've made it this far into the video, you're all thinking, oh, he's just a big John Jones fan. The truth is, I'd started to underappreciate him, because I've been back into his entire career, and I've watched the Gus Mau performance and the O'Brien performance and the wrestling against Stefan Bonner and the dismantling of legends like Rampage and Machida and Shogun and Belfort. He just made it look so easy. And it wasn't like he was just doing one thing really well. He was picking and choosing what he would take into the cage to beat them with. And often it was fighting them at their game. So if we keep that in mind, he might come in and just kickbox Cyril Gann. And then it's a bit more of an even fight. But I still feel like the creativity of the striking of John Jones is something that might be a bit of a shock to the system of Cyril. You know, Cyril's a good kickboxer, but when someone closes range and starts cracking you with those elbows, it's a different thing entirely. And Jones's proficiency with his elbows is a scary thing. Like, you know, again, go back and watch the Rashad Evans fight. I think it was the second round. And there were a variety of different ways that he was setting up the opportunity for the same left elbow that he lands over and over on the floor against Vitor Belfort or Brandon Vera. I'm very excited to see John Jones back. And I think heavyweight John Jones is a scary, scary individual. And I think that Cyril is an ideal person to test the capability of John Jones, because he's almost like the heavyweight version of John Jones. in the way that he moves and the problems that he causes his opponents. I just kind of feel like there might only be one John Jones. And no matter what weight class, I think he's pretty lethal. And he's a mean dude. He's a mean dude. Let's not forget this as well. Cyril, what's his nickname? Bongaman means the gentleman, right? He is a gentleman. He's a nice dude. John Jones will play nice guy, right? I might as well say this. I was considering whether I was going to talk about it or not. His post-fight interviews for his last few fights, I feel like he's trolling us. I feel like he's trolling the fans and the people in the arena and his opponents, because he's playing a nice guy character that I don't believe. Like, I know John. I've met John. We've worked together a bunch of times. We had same sponsors for a period of time. So we'd do autograph signings together. And he was always awesome. I always got on really well with him. And, you know, I mean, he is a nice guy. Absolutely. But there's a mean streak in John Jones that I don't see very often across the UFC roster. Peter Yan is another person I would talk about. Peter Yan doesn't try and hide it, though. John Jones really tries to hide it. And in his last few interviews, I've just felt like he's trolling everybody. Like, after his Thiago, I mean, of course, you know, he first of all, he apologizes, and then he talks about how his opponents have earned his respect, and his voice goes to a higher pitch, and I'm like, this is his Sunday school voice. And he's like, I'm so proud of you. And I'm just like, I'm not buying it. This guy's a killer. This guy's vicious. Like, I'm not buying it. And he's going, oh, you know, I'm really proud of myself for standing with a black belt in Muay Thai. And he says that a couple of times and, like, looks over his shoulder. Like, watch those interviews back. Watch those interviews back. Because, like, John Jones is a clever individual. And the way that he does those interviews, the way that he conducts himself in those interviews, it's yeah, there's a meanness to John Jones, and I think no matter how much he tries to camouflage it, it comes out between the bells of the rounds, and that might be a shock to the system for anybody, because you're looking at a guy who's not only huge, 6'4", 6'5", longest reach in the heavyweight division, now Stefan Struve's retired, but he's got this creativity that he can apply to people that can't stop him doing it. I'm excited for him to come back. And we've got to watch his neck attacks. I can't forget that as well. Neck attacks. He's got some really, really good neck attacks. Long arms, long levers. Tends to squeeze his opponent's neck in that. Ugh. Vicious. Like, again, like, watch how he drops Machida up against the fence. Like a sack of meat. Like, get off me. How dare you? I don't believe this new nice guy, John Jones, that we saw in his last few interviews. And I wonder whether we're going to see that version at heavyweight, or whether he's going to come in like he's been in prison for 3 years and he looks like he's been lifting iron in the yard during what's it called? What they call it when downtime in prison? Yeah, something like that. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm excited to see Jones back. I would like to see him fight in Francis Ngannou, because I think Francis Ngannou has got its fight-changing power that would change the way that John Jones approaches this. I feel like Cyril might be the perfect opponent for him to really show off how nasty and how mean he can be. And that starts with dismantling his lower body. But then Cyril might surprise me. Cyril might surprise me. I've fully joined the John Jones bandwagon after watching his early career. And I kind of hope we're going to see that creativity out of him again, because he may well be the best talent we've ever seen in mixed martial arts. And we should all be looking forward to seeing him back in competition. It's been too long. John Jones, welcome back. You're an absolute assassin. And Cyril Gane, good luck, my friend, because this is an absolutely stiff test to be taking on at this point in your career. And I know he's going to learn from it. I just hope he doesn't get too badly damaged in the process, because heavyweight John Jones might be the equivalent to C-level Kane, which is also very scary. All right, enjoy the fights. Check out Raid Shadow Legends. I love the game. Make sure you let me know what your favorite champion is in the comments below, and I will look for you in the Classic Arena. Enjoy yourself, and I'll see you next time.